life might hand you budgets, schedules, family, and responsibility. But driving shouldn't be just another chore.
We're here to help you find a car you love. Something that fits your budget and your needs, but is fun to drive and makes you look back. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul, and this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate. I caught myself looking at cars online again today, shopping.
It's a daily problem. This is the disease full bore.
I don't know how I work myself there, though. I'm, you know, check an email, then you log into your bank account, check your bank account balance, and you cry, and then you log out, and then you go look at some news, and you cry some more, and then think, oh, what's my happy place? And you go look at cars, and you think, oh, well, that's a car that I haven't considered before, and you go shopping for that. And then you're off the deep end, and then you've wasted 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
That was me today.
You know what happened to me today in the similar vein? Is I was going through – we get a ton of correspondence, which is great. Thank you guys for writing it.
Yeah,
you write in either through the website or everydaydrivertv@gmail.com. We get a lot of emails that are not necessarily intended to be car debates. They're just people ask a quick question or, hey, I'm doing this.
All kinds
or
of stuff.
Whatever,
hey, did you
awesome.
Know about this, guys, or whatever.
But it's one of those things where I've had to regulate myself and only jump on like a few times a week when I've got a block of time to deal with correspondence. Otherwise, I'll lose 2 hours doing that.
I
jumped on today, and there were a couple of things that I covered, and one was a guy, I forget his name off the top of my head now, but I responded to him real quick because he had like a two-sentence question.
Okay.
Of really, really short commute, like 3 to 5 minute commute, okay? Wants to buy an electric car, wants to spend 10 to 15 grand. What's interesting?
I saw him on here on the email.
And I thought I had his instant sniper shot, and I just thought, it was like a two-sentence email, and I thought, you know what, I can take a minute right now and I can look up and see if I'm right. I was right. i3s. He wanted interesting to drive and all electric, and that price, i3s all day long. 15 grand, you have your choice on that car.
15?
15.
I thought they were under 20, but 15 now?
If you buy the first year, and his commute's
nothing.
And why
not?
His commute's nothing. It's literally like 5 miles. It was like, if you're really wanting an interesting electric car and you're driving that little, i3,
15
done.
Grand?
So we had that conversation briefly today. But that got me looking up i3s. And then, of course, I had the insane thought of, do I need an i3? I don't commute a lot.
No, that's terrible.
But seriously, again, like I said the other night, the last time we did a podcast, the i3 was like 45 plus new. And there it is at almost a quarter of its original value.
And if it
works for your life, why not?
Well,
anyway,
this is
the black hole that I was in today, randomly looking at i3s. So then I cleansed my palate in BMW by looking at 1Ms.
Discovered
I still can't afford them, but they are hanging out right around the 45 to 50 grand range.
I saw another one for sale and bring a trailer and went, oh, there's one. And, you know, of course, it's an auction. Yikes.
Well, what's the place that you like in Ohio?
Oh, enthusiastauto.com.
See, this is what I found when I looked them up.
Plug-a-palooza for those guys.
But this is what I found when I looked them up. Is I found tons of really nice 1Ms people were selling between 45 and 50. And then on the list, every one of the ones from Enthusiast Auto was over 60 grand.
Yeah, and they're really nice, but they're for the collectors who can throw down for something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, you and I, of course, spent a good section of our day today. We should have been doing other things, randomly looking for cars. We aren't buying, but this is what we do. But we also are looking for you guys. Thank you.
Yeah,
we've got
exactly.
Two car debates tonight, of course. That gets us researching for legitimate reasons, even though it's all fun. And so we've got those two coming up as well.
The research ties in. Well, we all always love it when you guys write to us about the particular episode in which we talk about particular cars. We've started to get more of these, have you noticed, lately? Mm-hmm. And we had an email just recently from Tacey F. from episode 146, who wrote to us.
It also helps that all the episodes are numbered now. We can all find them easier. Yes,
that's helpful for us to go back and reference that, so you can reference which episode that was. She wrote to us and said she and her husband, Teddy, and our Cayman GTS are looking forward to meeting you, both of you, at Laguna Seca Track Day next month.
Very cool. I'm glad.
They also sent pictures. She sent photos.
I noticed.
Of a garage that has now made me inflamed with jealousy because they got the Cayman GTS, she said. We finally purchased this car this weekend over the last year. We had a few life changes that made us heavily debate the pros and cons of getting a third car versus upgrade our second car. Thirdcarproblems.com.
Well, but this was the whole debate. The debate was that she had a Focus and he had the GTS and they were owning a third car, and it was third car for Porsche family was the whole discussion. So now they've done it, which is great.
Well, she's commuting every day in Bay Area traffic instead of taking the train. Teddy's commute has now shrunk, Apparently, he might be walking to work soon, which is not a bad thing.
Here's Teddy's life now. I either walk or I drive a Cayman GTS. That's a man with focus.
This is
good priorities right there.
She said they're traveling back and forth between here and SoCal due to family issues, which definitely is understandable. But then we decided to trade our Focus, increase our budget, music to my ears.
That's what happens.
For a nicer second car option for commuting and road trip duties, and now plan to occasionally rent a fun weekend cars through Turo.
That's
which
what's fun
we
there
do
too.
As yeah. well. And now they're proud owners of a 2015 Macan S. And with the photos
yes.
of both rear ends of the car parked in the garage, all I have to say is you got to get Porsche artwork on the walls now.
Stop.
Paint the garage floor. I think
stop.
It was already painted.
It's the all-recent Porsche garage.
Oh,
yes,
man.
It is. So, of course, you couldn't be happier.
So tasty.
But, Tacy, thank you for writing in, and we appreciate the follow-up. We're excited to meet you guys. That'll be really cool. And, again, that track event is both track and a drive on Pacific Coast Highway. That is the
That's
17th
right.
and 18th of November. It's coming up. It's an a la carte trip, so do as much or as little as you want. We'd love to see you.
Sample the track buffet.
No, but I suppose. But you do have to bring your own car, your own helmet, etc. So that is going on. If you want
yes.
to sign up for the track part, you can get there through our website, but you're actually going to the guys at ncracing.com. It is their track event.
.org, actually.
Is it org?
ncracing.org. So look at events there, and you can see they've got a stoplight system of, hey, are things still available? Is the driving school available?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, as of now, the driving school has a yellow light, which means 70% full
mm-hmm.
at this point. Everything else is still green. You can sign up for different class categories,
mm-hmm.
so different run groups there. And then more information about the whole event on everydaydriver.com/adventures.
And from our link, you can get to the racing sign-up link
yes.
very easily. There's a link there. I know it works. I used it. So you can get
yes.
there that way. We would love to see you guys if you can come to any or all of it. That would be really cool.
See you there at publicservice.org.
I mean, exactly. They are public service. You're right.
That's a public
all
service.
Racing
to all
opportunities should be a .org. That's perfect. Yes, I like it.
Oh, this is great. Well, we've got great debates from two guys who are writing in for their wives. And we love this kind of stuff. We love debating for college students. We love debating for sons and daughters and husbands and wives.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun when you're going shopping for somebody else. And
yeah,
even though it's not quite the holidays yet, I love this because it's fun to shop for significant others.
You're
and
envisioning
the
bow, aren't you? The big bow on the car.
Well, yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know where to get bows. Do you get bows on Amazon?
I probably.
Big car bows. I need a big red car bow. Where do you buy those?
Walk into your local Michaels and ask them that question and see where they scramble to.
Haven't you guys seen the Lexus commercial? You know
yeah,
what I'm talking
exactly.
about? It's the
Lexus
big
and
red
Mercedes.
Bow.
They do a big red bow on the top.
Come on.
Don't you guys have those in the back?
Sheesh.
Actually, knowing the few times I've been into Michaels, there's probably an aisle of just that.
Is there
just
a Bed Bath and Beyond? It's all in the Beyond section of
Bed Bath and Bows. Yeah.
Hey. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now
it's
you're on something.
Yeah. I liked it when it was on The Simpsons and it was called Blood Bath and Beyond and it was a gun store. That was my all-time favorite.
Even better.
That was my favorite.
All right. So we've got Xavier. He's in Puerto Rico, writing for a reliable car for his wife. He is a tattoo artist.
Yes, he is.
It's pretty cool. Married, no kids, two dachshunds. Long time listening to the podcast.
The number of people that write in and go, married, no kids, two dogs, is probably, once people run down the roster, I bet you 25% of the people that write in, married, no kids, still have two dogs in the equation. Have you
mm-hmm.
noticed this? It's true of both of these tonight.
Yeah, this is funny. All right, so he's writing in for his wife because she is got a little bit of a commute. She's got a Toyota RAV4 with 89,000 miles, no issues, but they're talking about buying a new SUV.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also got Devin, whose wife's SUV has blown its engine. 10-year-old Chevy Equinox.
It's just awful.
Yikes. Tossed its coolant, cracked the head, took out the rest of the motor, and probably the best thing to happen to that, Devin, I'm sorry that happened. That's not fun.
But when you describe it as a 2007 vomit brown Chevrolet Equinox, I know this is not a car that's been loved. I know that a part of you is just going, well, that's over. Let's move on. But it is still really tough, and it makes for a real discussion about budget and what's next, and that comes up for Devin. So let's start with Xavier. He's in Puerto Rico, and if you're paying attention at all to the current events right now, this is a weird story. And it's kind of a tragic story because, of course, Puerto Rico was just hit really, really hard a month ago by Hurricane Maria. And Xavier's writing to us because he still doesn't really have internet. And if you've watched any of the news or description, there's a lot of services in reality. And real life hasn't even come back to Puerto Rico yet. It's hit so hard.
This was a massive tragedy. Huge catastrophe.
Well, just infrastructure-wise, it's been mostly decimated. That's what's been so hard.
Yeah, it's been tough to read about, to be honest.
For sure, for sure. So what's weird about this in relation to our show, you go, how do you connect the two? Here's how you connect the two. Xavier, the night before the storm hit, thought, I should download a bunch of stuff. So in case we don't have internet for a little bit of time, he didn't think it was going to be a month plus, I should have something. So he downloaded a bunch of our old podcasts. And then he's been out of reception for so long, it's been one of the only things he's had for entertainment to pass the time has been our two idiot voices. That's where that – I mean, Xavier, I'm glad. I'm glad that we can
– floored by this information, honestly.
I'm glad that we can be any kind of bright spot in this situation, but thank you. Now, yes, honestly, absolutely. We're making fun. But Xavier, I hope you and your family are safe and you'll get back to full services soon. That whole situation, I can't even fathom. But this has gotten you a little bit addicted to our podcast, so you've written in because your wife needs a new SUV. You guys are shopping as you put everything back together, so that's where we start.
You know, I could see it from the standpoint of just forget about everything that's happening. It's a bit of an escape.
For sure, for sure.
And this is what he loves. He loves cars, and he actually does have a genuine need for his wife, who's a nurse.
Absolutely,
so I could see that. I mean, this I hope you guys use us as an escape from everything, commuting and chores and... I don't know, honey. What are you talking about? I'm listening to the guys.
Well, but that's – you and I have talked about this before.
It feeds the escape part. Yeah. Let's go think about other fun, cool stuff. Where do you want to be?
You and I have talked about this privately, and we've mentioned a couple times in the podcast, and I do want to touch on it here real quick. And Xavier, I'm glad this has been helpful to you. Look, Paul and I read just as much news as you guys do.
Oh, yeah.
We're aware of all the stuff going on in the world. And sometimes you may be listening to the podcast and going, why aren't they mentioning – because we've purposely chosen not to. There's so much discussion of whatever the news tragedy thing is all the time. We see it too. We hear it too. It's out there. We're not ignoring it because we don't think it exists, but we're hoping that this podcast is just a little island where none of that stuff relates so that we can just talk about this fun thing we like, which is cars.
Well, that and the fact that, you know, you guys have listened to our podcast starting with episode one. And if we're dating the podcast with particular timelines of events in history, whether it be, you know, who knows, politics or weather or whatever that is, we've all got our opinions. But you and I want to escape too, and we'd just rather shop for cars and go driving.
as is evidence
so
just
it's
today.
It's kind of a cathartic outlet for you and I too, to come into this. You know what? You're listening to this 3 years from now, and it's just about cars. And that's really what we wanted to make it about.
That's a good point.
Not use it as a platform for whatever.
There's
plenty of those kinds of podcasts.
For sure.
If you want them, you can go find them.
Well, and you and I don't agree enough on plenty of things. And we keep it nice, but let's not head off into things that end up being acerbic anyway. So that's all bad. So anyway, so back to this situation in Puerto Rico. 27-year-old tattoo artist. Two dachshunds is my favorite part of this story because here the two dogs. But your wife needs a new car. You actually are a car guy. You have a BMW 435i with the M package. You've already done some tuning to it. Again, for those of you that may not realize this, Puerto Rico is part of the U.S., and they can get all the U.S. cars. Now, there's a little bit of an extra charge, $5,000 to $10,000, he's telling us, depending upon what.
Yeah,
but pretty much if you can get it here, you can get it there. So we are talking about a similar car culture, if you will. You have that with a bunch of stuff done to it. You have a daily 2004 Mazda pickup. This is the B2300 with a manual. You've talked about lots of other people have got bigger pickups. You love that one. You just say it's fun for you. You've had a lot of cars you've owned, but this is shopping for your wife, whose Toyota RAV4 is getting a little high mileage. It may be time.
I've thought about, you know, cars that nurses drive, you know, in keeping with questions that have been asked about stereotypes and all that kind of stuff. What do firefighters drive and, you know, all these kind of stuff.
Sure.
But you know what? You can drive anything you want.
Absolutely.
And I love that you're shopping for her. I'm wondering, is this going to be a Christmas gift? Are you going to surprise her? Because we know where to get big red bows just in case.
The big red bow aisle.
Something like that.
it's nicely labeled with a big red bow. It's perfect.
Hope there's not an upcharge on those too. Anyway.
There will be, yeah.
There's previous cars list here that is really varied, including an Isuzu Rodeo 1992.
Yeah.
That's still running fine with more than 200,000 miles. So guess what? Your Mini has hope.
Yes, you're right.
I still think it's the Million Mile Mini. Just rolls right off the trunk.
Frightening to think about. Especially the idea that you keep bringing up of that needs to be my son's first car in 10 years.
I think
that's what horrifies me.
Coolest kid on the block.
Maybe. But if all of his friends think driving is terrible, then he won't be the coolest kid on the block.
Right, just calling over.
So we have this RAV4 with over 90,000 miles, and he's realizing, okay, where this car is, it could keep running, but he wants to get into something newer.
Yeah. And he's saying not boring because he's going to drive it on the weekends too.
That's key.
Just for her. Mm-hmm. It's still kind of for both of them, thinking ahead down the road, planning for a family, but it's still a bit out, which it sounds like.
Yeah.
Still a bit out
there. Luckily, we don't have a situation where you have to address two kids, two car seats right now. You have two dogs, which don't have car seats. So
and
there is
tiny.
That. Yeah, exactly. All of that works. But she's kind of leaning SUV. You're leaning SUV. We're hoping to replace this RAV4. You have mentioned the things you like. Your budget is $40,000 to $45,000. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about a $5,000 or so upcharge. So we have to think,
easily.
You know, 5 to 10 lower in our terms as to what we think is viable. But you've actually brought up some things. You said you're looking at, you've got a Toyota 4Runner on here that you really like, maybe a BMW X3. You looked at the X1, but you're wondering about that as being maybe too small, which was good guiding information for me because I thought, all right, something like the Mazda CX-3, probably also out.
Probably
so the
too
really
small,
small
yeah.
Even the GLA, which we like, probably out. Those little glorified hatchback tiny SUVs are maybe not, but probably out. What you're going to have to do, Xavier, is actually go drive some of these and see if they are. But you're thinking above that. So Toyota 4Runner, BMW X3, the Cayenne, the Tiguan. I think the Tiguan is on the edge of maybe being too small, too.
As far as size, yeah, possibly. Although I like that you're open. They're both open, it sounds like. But, I mean, it could be a fun afternoon just to go. You and Natalie taking a drive and going to a bunch of dealerships. And I like that you're thinking new, which is good. Probably thinking warranty, all that kind of stuff.
I
broke this down into kind of low, medium, high.
Okay.
Because we don't exactly know what kind of tax or upcharge is going to be on each of these vehicles. It varies wildly. And again, as you said, 5 to 10, we're just not sure. I don't know, don't have much experience with this. I'm kind of guessing the European brands might be a little bit more. So I did not suggest any German cars whatsoever.
Look at you. Okay.
I really thought about reliability, and there's one that I really want you to check out. It's so new on the website, it does not have a price. Mm. I built it, and it still wouldn't give me a price. It
really?
Says, all right, consult your local dealer and, you know, take in the build sheet.
Good.
Blah,
okay.
Blah.
All right.
But I think because of the car, it's still going to meet your price point.
Mm-hmm.
So I will start there, but just I have to bring up the Koreans and Kia and my love for them. And actually, the new Sportage has caught my eye for something that's reasonable, reliable, good-looking, checks the boxes.
Sure.
I think this is a cool car. I didn't like the prior generations. As a matter of fact, the first gen, I mean, Kia has come a long way, as you know.
Yeah.
And again, I come to it from this thing's just going to run. You can beat on it. It's just going to be interesting and fun, I think, lower end of the price point. If you want to save a little bit of money, that's kind of where I start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You talked about the CX-3.
Yes.
But the Mazda CX-5 is something we always bring up.
It's on my short list, for sure.
I was wondering if it was on your list. We've always got to suggest this because we're so impressed with Mazda. The new 2018 CX-5 is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's great.
And all the concept stuff that I'm seeing from Mazda come down the pike is just that they're really becoming wizards with sheet metal, which
they're doing great work.
I'm loving
their design language right now is really pretty on everything they put it on, which is quite impressive.
I mean, isn't that the whole reason that we own cars and that we buy cars? I want to come out in the morning and go, I really like how this looks. I want to be seen in that.
Yeah.
By the way, it drives good. I can afford it.
Sure.
On and on.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Mazdas are just doing such an amazing job as far as design and their corporate look is so clean and a lot of elegant stuff going on with Mazda.
I see that.
It's almost to the point where it belies the brand. Their language is far above where their brand is positioned in the market.
I think that's true. I think they've done a really good job on value for money as far as how elegant their cars look and how nice the interior and interior feel are. I think we were talking about it on the last podcast. I think Mazda, in general, is almost doing the closest work to Volkswagen as far as hiding the places where they went cheap on plastics.
Yeah, good point.
I think Volkswagen leads the charge on that. I think they're decently out front.
Clever
but I feel
little
like,
folks trying to hide.
Seriously, but I think Mazda is close behind on just hiding. Here's where we saved money on plastics because you're never going to see or touch this, but yet we still get it done. Yeah.
I just feel like their cars look more expensive than they are.
I think it's fair.
Just the entire language, and that's, you know, roof lines that are flatter and straighter, and they're a little bit elongated on smaller platforms. Give it a look. There's all these design cues that you can do that will push that along, whereas a sport wheel is usually five spokes, whereas a luxurious wheel is 20 spokes or, you know, 10 or 9 or something like that. But a seven spoke, kind of balancing the line between something sporty and something luxurious.
Okay.
So all these kinds of things are designers think about when they're trying to design for a certain price point and then designing the optional 20-inch wheel. Well, maybe it has a little bit more spokes, or maybe it's designed in such a way. Designers are thinking about this stuff to meet the price point.
Okay.
And there is language that matches what looks like luxury
to
our eyes.
Okay, fair.
But the car I want to land on here, this is the car I think you should consider because it is so interesting to me.
Okay.
It's the brand new Volvo XC40. Just looking at this on the website.
All right.
Super intrigued with the design language. Volvo is another company that is just doing stuff that is out of their own league. They're kind of punching above their weight.
Yeah, they're elevating
to use
themselves.
A cliche term,
I agree with that. Yeah.
They're just, such elegance and style, and yet, I could afford that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a European brand, but it's just, so it's got all that feel. The seats are unbelievably amazing.
Very good, very good.
We love Volvos for that, and the interiors are gorgeous, all that kind of stuff. And so it feels like you're getting something more than you paid for, which is always something to consider. And I think you just really enjoy driving it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the Momentum or R Design. Those are the two flavors offered. And again, you're not able to price those out on the website, but I'm wondering if you'll be getting those soon in Puerto Rico. Go check those out. Give them a drive. Give them a consideration, because with the Germans, you know, we can always run to all kinds of stuff. There's a myriad of choices.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, for maintenance and then upfront taxes, is it going to be really worth it? I don't know. I mean, you don't have to stick with BMW just because you have the 4 Series.
Well, it and I would say branch out anyway. But yeah.
You know, it could look cool. But I'm just all about the new Volvo styling. I really am. They're just doing such an amazing job. Jaguar, Mazda, Volvo. All these companies are doing such amazing stuff. So that's where I landed. XC40, brand new.
Okay.
And again, unknown when it reaches your shores and reaches dealerships and all that kind of stuff. But I'm intrigued by this choice.
I like
such an alternative to all the
usual
stuff.
It's a forward-thinking choice, too. You're going, this is coming, and I like it. That's good. I like that a lot.
Yeah, so those three, low, medium, high, that's where I landed.
All right. Well, I had a couple in the new category and then a couple in the, consider this, it's a little oddball, but consider this for used. So in the new category, you said you like the 4Runner. I like the 4Runner for you, too. I think the 4Runner is a good option.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to drive the 4Runner, though, I'm going to say drive the Land Cruiser while you're at it.
Mm.
So you need to just compare and contrast those for sure.
Yeah, a little bit bigger size, form factor, too.
Yeah, but both of those, you know, we're dealing with how big an SUV do you want is kind of the question that comes up.
Yeah, right.
You know, and then I thought about the fact we have a friend here who has – this I'm going to use real quick, the big Lexus SUV, the big LX,
prior
to the current gen, that's a genuinely big and also genuinely nice SUV.
Mm.
But used, you can find deals on them. I mean, he got it for like half of its original MSRP, and it wasn't very old, and it didn't have high miles. So that makes me go, how luxurious do you want to go? Now, this is not a fun-to-drive discussion, but it is a discussion about a really nice, well-appointed, and will-just-run SUV.
It's true.
Look at the Lexus LX. Now, this is prior gen to current gen. I'm not a huge fan of the current gen styling, but let's be honest. You have the Land Cruiser, which is the non-Lexus version, and the LX, which is the Lexus version. So look at both of those while you're shopping.
Right.
You said Mazda CX-5. I think that's a must-drive.
But
the one that didn't get mentioned here is the Honda.
Hmm.
The CR-V.
Okay.
I mean, at least drive that if you're driving the CX-5. I mean, I think the CX-5 is more interesting, but that Honda's just going to run, and they do great things with space.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Honda shines.
That's true. You're right.
So,
the space utilization is
fantastic.
They're
pretty much the best at that, so do that. And then I have a wild card here that struck me when you talked about fun to drive. And you also talked about your wife's running – I mean, she's a nurse, so she's running 12-hour shifts, and then she's got to drive home. I really think about tired driving in that regard. So I want it to be something that's safe, which I think a lot of these we're talking about are, especially if you go new. But, you know, that's actually a scourge in the film industry because people work 16, 18-hour days and expected to drive home. And every now and then, it's sad to say.
Are you kidding me? That long?
They can be, yeah.
Is it just because of film shoots?
It's just because of the way it works.
Stuff happens and you never know how long it'll
go. You have that. I mean, look, all the unions are there to set up massive overtime and golden hour and blah, 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 golden time, all kind of thing. But you still might end up working a really long day. And unfortunately, it's happened just this calendar year. It's happened almost every year. Somebody dies driving home because they've worked too long. So
awful.
We need to get safe cars in this discussion as well, of course, in all discussions, but that 12 hours made me think about that. All of these I'm talking about are safe, but you also talked about wanting to have something fun to drive for you, and I thought of a wild card. They just stopped making it this year, so that means you could get one possibly still on a lot new, but probably get a good deal on it. Infiniti. The QX70 used to be the FX70. That is the rear-wheel drive, long-nosed one built on the same chassis as the 370Z.
Right. That doesn't always come to mind.
It doesn't. It gets forgotten. But it is kind of a hiding enthusiast SUV. I mean, they were when they first launched it as the FX, Infiniti was way out front in a weird place. Nobody was really making SUVs in that category, and now everybody is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting that Infiniti now has dropped that car while everyone else is now making a lot of them. But it's a rear-wheel drive car. That's what I find so interesting. It's a rear-wheel drive car chassis that's become an SUV. You can get an all-wheel drive if you want. Mm-hmm. They're pretty cool looking. They've got that 370Z motor. That's my wild card, but I like it for you a lot because it's going to have all the appointments and it's going to run like a good, nice SUV like the rest of these we're talking about. But I also think when you're driving it, Xavier, you're going to like it. So that's my wild card, and I'll stop there.
Just from a driving enthusiast standpoint?
Because of because he's talked about a Cayenne. And look, I like the Cayenne. Obviously, I own a Cayenne. But I wanted to stay all like you did. I wanted to stay away from the German brands, and I wanted to stay in something that I figured would just be a little more affordable and just run.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, my Cayenne just runs. I don't think it's off the table here, but I just didn't go there automatically. And that made me think of this QX70 as it's in that category. Where do you find your rear-wheel drive biased SUV? It's hard now.
Yeah, it's almost not made. It's either front-wheel drive biased or just all-wheel drive or that's it.
So here's
it's
one.
It's a rare breed.
You know, I mean, the Cayenne is 60% rear. Okay, that's an example. But it's just not a common reality. But here's this Infiniti kind of hiding in the lineup, and there it is.
Xavier, I really hope this helps. We both do. And it's so funny because whenever I start car debates and I go shopping and I go doing research, I always start at extremes. So I thought of a 1980 Volkswagen Thing. And then I thought, no, maybe a little bit rough around the edges.
I have never thought of a Volkswagen Thing.
Remember those things?
I know exactly what they are, but I have never, ever thought for any car debate ever. You know what might work here is a Volkswagen Thing.
I got to start there and then, you know, way out here, like the Nismo Juke GTR with the 600 horsepower GTR heart transplant.
You can't work on it because half of the engine is below the firewall.
Right. Yeah. And I think, okay, now that we've got, you know, both those out of the way, we can concentrate.
Now let's stack the shelf.
So that's how my brain works. Anyway, hopefully that helps. Write to us with your own car debate at everydaydrivertv@gmail.com, or you can find us, go straight to the website, everydaydriver.com, and you can reach us there. Send us your debate with, you know, a story, you play hockey or you have dogs or something, whatever's going on in your life that dominates your thinking.
Please include a budget. That's one key
Budgets
thing.
Are helpful.
Cars you're looking at is also helpful. I'm going to give a new thing. Besides the two scroll rule.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to have a new thing that is a scourge because of cell phones.
Ah.
And that is walls of text with absolutely no paragraph breaks.
Right.
That is really difficult to read. I when you open up an email, and I realize if you're writing on your phone, this can be hard.
You need to give like the guidelines.
When you open up an email and it is three scrolls worth of wall-to-wall letters, it literally is like coming up against a visual wall. I know I'm being geeky here.
It's rough.
Back to screenwriting, honestly, there's a thing in screenwriting where you pretty much, it's not a rule, but most people adhere to it. Paragraphs are never more than about three or four sentences.
Okay.
Even if it's an ongoing thought, because screenwriting readers are going through so many scripts that what you want to do is make it reader friendly.
Just chunks, bite-sized chunks.
And wall of text is a page where you just as a reader go, oh man. And I've actually talked to readers who are just like, when I hit that script, it's instantly in a non-recommend. Because I can't be bothered. And also because going off the rabbit trail of Hollywood, a lot of executives don't actually read scripts. And so when they get that, they won't read it. I've met many executives who only ever read dialogue. It's like, how do you know what's going on in the movie? Well, I just read the dialogue. But it's an action movie.
But
whole scenes go by and nobody says anything. Did you just flip through those pages? But if it's wall of text, you do. So anyway, funny. There's my other thing. Paragraph breaks are your friend.
All right, so the guidelines continue. Thank you guys for writing. Give us a very quick break and we'll be right back.
Let's talk about our friends at TrueCar real quick. When you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure you're getting a price on an actual vehicle. It's not like theoretical. You want a car that's actually sitting on a lot somewhere. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. You can wind up configuring a car online only to find out, yeah, that one you wanted, we don't have that.
But with TrueCar, you get real pricing on actual inventory. Now, this is not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual dealer. And not just any dealer, but a TrueCar certified dealer, which is a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. So using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want.
You can see what other people in your area paid for that car. That's a nice comparison thing to see. There are over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide, and the average TrueCar user saves $3,000 off MSRP.
So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Welcome back to the podcast, guys. We're jumping in for a second debate from Devin, whose wife's SUV blew the engine.
The 07
vomit brown Chevy Equinox.
Was that an actual factory color? I'd like mine in vomit brown, please.
The color and trim people are much savvier than this.
They are. They are.
They're hired professionals with taste. And they follow fashion trims and Pantone color choices and the latest color stuff coming out.
And then
the
they create some ridiculous name for every color in the palette. They can't just call it brown.
It's mocha chocolate.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's new espresso.
Pixie dust.
Oh, but that one's actually caramel espresso.
It's brown. Caramel espresso.
It's brown.
It's the stuff on top of a good espresso.
Great.
It's the creamy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually almost worse than silver and gray. That's what that is.
A car company should just go back to the regular silver, gray, black, blue, white, red, yellow.
You would think. You would think.
Can you imagine? I'll have it in green, I guess. Yeah. We're just going green, right? That's it. It says on your website.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, Devin, thank you so much for writing. We're sorry her engine blew. That stinks.
Yeah.
No
awful.
Fun. And, apparently the last in a series of issues this car has had.
This is the good riddance moment. I hate to say it because there's money out in this equation, but this is the...
Yeah, that's the big
and
issue.
And we're done. It's that final nail in the coffin. This car goes shuffling off. So now there's a new car that needs to be in the discussion for your wife. You guys are thinking you're a couple years out from having kids. So your wife's going, okay, one last fun car. Now, I'm going to say... Because we're going to say,
yeah,
this should never stop. The fun car should never really stop. Our hope is that whatever car you're in is meeting all your needs and is still genuinely fun to drive. If it's just a scourge, I have to drive this. We feel sorry for you. That's why we're here. So hopefully it's not the last fun car.
It's not a scourge. But you got a dog. Oh, you have to drive an H1 Hummer because they're dog-proof and you can't drive anything else.
Exactly. And here's the thing. My wife and I are guilty. Because we bought an Acadia right before we had our son. We had our son and a dog.
I mean, it was a bit planned. You kind of knew.
Researched a lot. It was me. I researched a lot. We drove a lot of things. I said, this is what we should get. We got it. It worked. And then somewhere, not only a couple of years into, my wife has realized she didn't really like the car, but we also realized we don't need anything this big.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we realized we weren't having any more kids, it was like, why do we have an 8-seat vehicle? Who's coming with us? And of course, the times that either set of in-laws arrived.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's about the only time you used it.
But otherwise, it was like, why do we have this monster vehicle?
Tell them to take the rental.
Exactly. So
we'll
anyway.
Meet you there.
Seriously, that starts to happen now. Yeah, now my parents will arrive and we have Minnie and Lotus. What do you want to take? Folding my parents into a Lotus is going to be a riot. Anyway, yeah.
They haven't even seen that yet, have they?
No, they haven't.
Oh, this will be fun.
Oh, and honestly, I don't even know that I've shared on the podcast that the Minnie has the rear seat delete.
Oh, yeah,
which
right.
makes it practically my utility vehicle. You wouldn't believe how much stuff I can get in the back seat of a Mini or the back of a Mini. But so I actually own two-seat cars.
This is funny. This is so great.
My wife's Cayenne is the only thing with more than two seats that we own. Anyway.
Both British. Yeah, I love this. Anyway, back to Devin's debate here. He's got a couple of paths here, but the big twist for Devin is he's got a lift in his garage, which means he has the proclivity to work on cars and change clutches in an afternoon.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. So that means we could possibly recommend things to fit his budget that he might be more prone to working on and doing the maintenance himself.
I see that, yeah.
That might be a little bit more maintenance needy, we'll say.
Yeah, maintenance prone. That's like a good way to put it, yep.
Mini Coopers, maybe. We'll see.
Yep.
But, you know, he doesn't want a money pit either. So he's trying to spend less time under the car that he gets and more time building his track car, which is pretty cool, I got to admit.
The lift is for the track car. He doesn't want to actually have anything else on that lift. He wants to be – that's my track car fun tool.
Lift jealousy over here?
Yeah, new we t-shirt. Definitely have lift it, jealousy. For sure. Yeah.
All right, so these two paths are, number one, buy the CRV that they'll need, that she'll need when kid number one comes along and just suck it up now, absorb the payments, you know, just relegate yourself to the corner. Or buy her something fun that will make it through kid number one, maybe not kid number two, and go ahead and bank $500 a month that he sets aside each month for her car payment.
Yeah. So they can almost pay cash for something in a little while.
Right.
Yeah.
Cash for car number two or to replace this car. So it's really either buy the CRV, which is, we're having kids, I guess. We're getting a CRV and a dog. And goldfish.
Well, but they already have two dogs. That's the other twist. There's two dogs in this equation already. So we can't go with two seaters.
They're not dachshunds either.
Yeah, 50-pound plus dogs. We've got an Australian Shepherd and a Golden Retriever in the mix. Golden Retrievers are just the happiest car riding dogs on the planet. I feel like every time I see a Golden Retriever, it's sitting in the passenger seat like a person looking out the front. I've passed so many owners where dog and driver are doing the exact same facial expression, that just zoned out commute look. And they're both sitting there.
Commuting dogs.
It's absurd. I've seen that quite a bit.
There's got to be an Instagram channel of this.
There probably should be. Yeah, keep going.
Dogs doing the commute with you. All right. So here's where the crux of everything happens. The meat of the debate. She knows how to drive stick, and she likes it. He taught her to drive on his ES Miata, so he included pictures because, you know, he's a tall guy like we are, 6'3", long legs. I've decided that I'm sort of between you and Chance. Chance is, you know, legs up to his neck, your torso down to your knees, and I'm somewhere in between.
You're much more normal of the three of us.
None of us really
fit. Which is a low bar. Saying you're the most normal of the three of us is not really much of an accomplishment. Because I'm really in the weirdness, but yeah.
All right, so he's got this Miata, but she's not confident in her abilities with the stick. She likes nice sedans and four-seat cars, so Audi A4 Cabriolet, BMW
4-seat convertibles, yeah.
Yes, the convertibles have to be in the mix. I'm wondering about this. He's asking what he's missing, A4 sedan, A4 Cabriolet, any variant like this. He'd prefer stick because his hatred of torque converters is the stuff of legend.
Hadn't heard this legend yet, but now I know. Now
writing itself?
Yeah, Devin apparently is a legend in that world. So that's something we have to solve. But I think the other key thing here is his budget. Because if he's going to save for this car in a couple years, that means the budget right now is around $8,000.
Yeah, that's tricky. But there is some wiggle room, did you see? You know, not $5,000 worth of wiggle room, but some.
Yeah.
You know, $4,999.99.
That says to me that we're under $10,000 for sure. That's what I read into that. He's got a little bit of, you aren't, but I'm going to stay under $10,000. I'm going to be that guy. Yeah.
So what else? So right now they're trying to figure out budgets and save and do all that kind of stuff. Keep the budget low. She can drive the Miata around town for now, but they got to decide sooner rather than later. So I'm curious where you started, where you dove in, what you're thinking.
Well,
did you go cabriolet? Did you go convertible route for this?
I've actually got two answers. I've got the, let me give you three sedans that I think are interesting to drive that you can get manual or automatic, depending on her preference. Actually, one of them is only manual, but you can get both. And then I have another variant, which is just if she really wants a convertible, here's three you could go for.
Okay.
So I've got three in each category. But I want to do a little side jaunt here for a second.
Side jaunt.
I've had this conversation with my wife. Everyone I know that has had kids has had this conversation. You run up against people like Devin and his wife, and my wife and I, we were this way. It was like, we're going to have kids in this time frame. No, you're not. I don't mean that to be tacky. But kids are one of those things where it's just like, we wanted to have a kid in 3 years and we had one this year. Oops. Or we wanted to have one in 2 years and we started in 2 years and we had lots of fun in practice, but we didn't actually get pregnant for a whole other year. Okay. The number of stories, my wife and I actually do have a couple friend And they are that couple friend we all have.
Who you're talking about.
We have a couple friend who everything they try works out, and I swear to you could have set a watch by when they got pregnant.
Unbelievable.
They were like, well, we're going to start trying because we expect, yep, we're pregnant. Like, we just, unbelievable. No one else I know of all of our couple friends can say that. So there, you may be that couple that can do it exactly in your time frame. But my thinking is, let's buy a car that she can really enjoy right now, and then worry about, does it work for kids when the kids are on the way?
Fair enough.
That might be 2 years. It might be 4 years. It might be 9 months from now. You might be like, oops, surprise.
Surprise.
So let's worry about that then.
Son, you were a mistake. No. Never
say
that.
Not a mistake. Not a mistake. Just a surprise. There's a difference.
You were early.
There's a difference. There's a big difference. But anyway.
You arrived very, very early.
Yes. You were not planned for in that moment, but we love you so much.
Terrible.
Anyway, yeah, it's awful.
It's all in jest.
It's awful. But anyway, so that's where my thinking was. So let's either go with a cool sedan now or a cool convertible now and worry about the kit equation later.
Okay.
So following up on sedans, we're talking 10 grand, hopefully manual, doesn't have to be, Pontiac G8.
Okay.
Fun to drive car. Okay. You can get them. Options at this price point. Manual, stick shift, stick shift manual or automatic, what do you like? Good size sedan. That could be a genuinely fun car. It's a big car, but genuinely fun car. So that's on there. Mazda Speed 6.
Good.
Now manual only,
good.
But you'll have options at this budget. You'll have options.
05, 06, right?
The Mazda Speed 6, it was 05, 06, or 06, 07. I'm drawing a blank right now on which of those is right. But it's that range. But that's the thing. That car is just fun. Now, there were some heat soak issues with the engine. There's some kind of known problems to defend for when you're shopping. Check forums. But those are really fun cars, and they're forgotten cars. So Mazda Speed 6, very cool, all-wheel drive. They come out in the winter here in Salt Lake. I feel like I never see them all summer, and then all winter I see multiple, and they're always hooning through the snow. They just, they're immune to weather.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. So Mazda Speed 6. And then, you know, another one we forget a lot, but is really cool. The first gen Lexus IS300.
Oh, yeah. Those are easily within that budget.
Inline 6, rear wheel drive, those cool clock gauges.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like this. I think the styling has aged really well on those.
They're pretty cool. And the shifter, gated shifter, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember, but I know you can get it manual or auto. That's a kind of a hidden enthusiast car in the early Lexus lineup. So that early Lexus IS300, I think, is a very cool option here for this money. And that car's probably just going to run. So those are my three sedans.
Okay. I like that. I've decided I'm to this point in many things. You know when you're talking to somebody and you think, okay, that stat or fact or whatever that is, or does this car have that option? And you don't really remember, and the phone in your hand could tell you in about 3 seconds. I'm at the point now where it's just more fun to guess. I'm fine with it. I could look it up in a heartbeat and get the exact information. But you know what? It's more fun to just kind of sit there and speculate. Like, yeah, what do you think? The internets could tell us in half a heartbeat here.
And people listening are looking it up on their phone while they're listening
right now.
I'm sure,
but I'm kind of to the point where it's actually a little bit more fun to just, you know what? Maybe.
I think
I don't know. Moving on.
Remember the days when you actually sat in a bar and you had a conversation? A whole debate could happen because neither of you knew the answer or any way to get it until you checked later. Those days are gone, my friends.
Pretend like it's 1995. You have to talk to each other.
It's frightening. So then I thought, all right, now if we have to go convertible, what happens is when people say four-seat convertibles, it's a bit of a problem because most of the convertibles are not genuinely four seats. And you wind up in something like an Audi A4 convertible because it's one of the only options.
Right.
This is why the Camry Solara existed, okay?
Oh. I blocked that car out of my mind.
But it exists.
I'm sorry if you're in a Solara driving right now.
Okay. You know, but honestly, this is why we can't have nice things and we wind up with a Nissan Murano.
So do PT Cruiser convertibles.
This is why we wind up, because people wanted to have genuine four seats in convertibles.
I saw another one the other day and I just about hit something.
You should have hit it. Anyway, moving on. So,
but then
so
my car would have been damaged.
That's true. That nobody wins. You're right. That's a good point.
Nobody
Your
wins.
Car gets uglier and that one didn't get better. That's a bad day. You're right.
And then I have to pay money.
So then I thought this. Okay. Now, both Devin and his wife are fairly tall. I mean, she's 5'10". He's over 6 feet. But dogs don't need rear seat legroom.
True.
And neither do infants.
Uh-oh.
So if we're talking about a car for the short term and the immediate term, here's the thing. I'm thinking 2+2 convertibles because now you have genuine options and a lot more interesting cars.
Chrysler Sebring?
No, I didn't go there.
Oh.
So I have three I'm going to list.
Okay.
And I was trying to think of things that could be genuinely fun to drive, but have more than two seats and are worthwhile convertibles, meaning you kind of, you know, that car comes in a convertible. It's fun to drive. Let's go get that.
Mm.
One of them, since you are a guy that likes to wrench, you could look into E46 M3 convertibles. The convertibles are much cheaper than the sedans. They're not as dynamically good.
Could you get them for $10,000?
I wouldn't be surprised. The last time I looked, they're down around there.
I mean, nice ones are under 20.
For sure. Oh, for sure.
Real nice ones, yeah. Low miles.
But the convertibles are running much, much cheaper than the sedans, mm-hmm. because they aren't as dynamically good, but you got a convertible, and you got an E46 M3 out of it.
It's kind of cool.
You can put it on the lift and fix anything that's wrong. That's got to be on the list. I also thought Fiat 500 convertible. You could get a BART convertible.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is no track car, but that's not the point.
You're going to need a ramp for dogs.
But that's not the point. You don't have to. So Fiat 500, a BART comes in convertible.
That's interesting.
So look into that. And those have dropped like stones. So that's an option. And then another one, Mini Cooper convertible.
Thank you very much. That's where I was going to start.
This is my list. I've got those three. Those three sedans, those three convertibles. Hopefully something there works. But where are you?
You know, I thought about convertibles, and the usual suspects are Camaro, Mustang, the 3 Series, the A4s of the world, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff that we've talked about. Yes, those could work. Yes, there's going to be mildly interesting and fun. I just don't see your wife doing the Mustang convertible thing. Mm, just based on what you've written in, Devin, I just kind of don't really see it.
Sure.
It's for some people. It's not for others. I'm just kind of thinking, all right, there's, you know, a little bit more focused cars. And so I did land at Mini Cooper, either hardtop or convertible.
Okay.
You could go there. I mean, I'm finding 2013 Mini Cooper convertibles, not the S, but 44,000 miles for 2013 for $11,000.
Wait, what year?
2013 Mini Cooper.
That's much newer than I would have expected.
Beautiful, okay. Red. I'm looking at it right now. Gorgeous stuff here. And so I'm thinking, you know, the painted on back seats, like you said, Aston Martins and Mercedes SLs and all that kind of stuff. But for me, for what you're looking for what could work, I'm really kind of sticking on the Mini. I really like that because you can wrench on it, you can throw it on the lift, work on it as needed.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of sedans, going away from the convertibles for a moment, I'm looking at hatches because I was thinking about the big dogs.
Sure.
Running up, jumping into the back of the hatch. Hey, we're gone. Let's go.
Yeah.
And so some of these hatches can drive like sedans.
For sure.
Like an 07 or 08 Audi A3.
Okay.
They're four-door. Sure. They're hatch-ish. Sure.
They are hatch-ish. Yes, another one of our terms.
Feels sedan-ish.
Yes.
$7,000 to $8,000 for those.
True.
How about a 2014 Ford Fiesta ST with 39,000 miles for $11,900?
Ooh.
In molten orange.
Ooh, I like the color. Of course
I do.
What do
you think?
Of course I do.
I mean,
I like all the safety orange and yellow colors. I want people to see me. This is what I've realized.
If I
could put reflector strips down the side, I might. No, I wouldn't. But anyway, yeah.
So I'm thinking about that. Fiesta STs, I mean, the dogs can just beat on it, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. You're going to giggle in that car.
For sure, yeah.
And then I landed for the last car here, 09 Volkswagen GTI, 63,000 miles for $11,300.
Okay.
It's like just past the 60,000.
Yeah.
But we've got Devin and his lift.
We do.
His magical lift.
You're right.
And his box of tools.
We'd all like a lift. I take that point.
That's why I went there.
So you're over $10,000, but you're finding good options, though.
It's just kind of different fun.
Yeah,
I was thinking with the hatchish stuff, I was thinking more about the dogs.
I see that.
Than anything
that.
Else. Yeah. Just ease of entry and exit because they're big dogs. Mm-hmm. I mean, either have to open the door, pull the seat back, or they're going to be jumping over the paint. You know, their rear paws are going to be scratching the side of the car trying to get up, and you're going to be pushing them on up over the side.
How good is a dog's day when they don't even have to put their head out the window? They're in the backseat of a convertible going, everything's great right now. I can smell everything.
Sometimes I want to be that dog, honestly.
Yeah.
So, Devin, hope this is helpful. I'm, you know, we're kind of all over the map, but that's what we do. We have different, discussions and different options like Volkswagen things and Myers Manxes and weird stuff.
You were going to put him in a Myers-Manx, weren't you? I love it.
I was thinking
about it. Myers-Manx and the Volkswagen thing. There you go. Thanks for writing in, Devin.
Hey, yeah, welcome to your Sandrail. Hope your wife likes that. Anyway, it's got a Viper engine in the back.
We're going to get you a KTM Expo, and you're going to call that a garage. I have my Thing and my Expo. Those cars work for everything.
The quirkiest garage on the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
And a Viper-powered anything. Prius, Sandrail.
Prius is the key thing, yeah.
You name
you have
it.
To have, it's like the old Clio. You have to have the Prius. You have to have, ideally, I don't know why, but it has to be a second-gen Prius. I don't know why I'm saying that, but it has to be a second-gen Prius. I just feel like that's the one I've always envisioned this in. And behind the front two seats, it's just Viper engine. And now it's rear-wheel drive. And it still has the clean perfect. Energy thing so you can drive in the HOV lane.
Perfect.
That's
and
my
drum
perfect,
brakes in the rear?
That's my perfect build car right there.
Drum brakes and a parachute.
No,
you need to slow down, just pull the chute.
But here's the thing. If you're doing it, though, I would actually upgrade brakes and tires so that you could be also the car that surprises everybody. You know, but my favorite thing about that is the ridiculous V10 rumble and rear wheel drive and burning ridiculous amounts of gas. Like, you have to stop at every gas station, but you keep getting in the I'm a clean vehicle HOV lane in Los Angeles just because you can. That's the part of this that works for me.
Want to have fun with people at the DMV? Drive one of those up and try to get it registered.
Exactly. What is that? Well, I'm not really sure. Let's see which VIN number you'd like to chase. Yeah.
Jumping into social media, guys, we've got a lot of questions here. Thank you so much for writing to us. There's all kinds of varied stuff that we've got. I'm jumping in with Facebook here. Richard Lindsay asks, how do you keep from getting too precious about a car to the point you don't enjoy it? Let other people drive it, Richard.
That's an interesting answer from you.
Let other people drive your car and then see how you feel. Yeah, they're going to drive it differently. They might do something you don't like. Hopefully it's not abuse. Hopefully it's not damaging to the car. Maybe you've got your ground rules, but otherwise let them enjoy it too. And you'll get a whole new reaction and then you'll realize, oh yeah, that's why I love my car.
I'm surprised by that answer from you, but I think there's wisdom in that. That's cool.
It's weird. It's not something that I'm always able to take my own medicine.
That's true. It's hard for you.
Freely.
It's hard for you. Yeah.
Very hard problem doing this, but to keep it from just getting too precious. After all, it is a car, despite the price point.
Yeah.
But if it's sitting in your garage and you don't drive it, then what's the point?
I fully agree with. If you're paying that monthly fee and that car sits there, that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
You're owning something that is meant to move and it's just sitting still and you're paying money for it anyway. That's
this
terrible.
Is hard for me to say. It's really hard.
I know that in you for sure. For sure.
I struggle.
Yeah. And I want to say that you just have to go, you have to remind yourself to go drive when the weather's not perfect.
That's a good one. It's not just the right temperature at the right time with the right errand and the right destination.
Exactly. And well, you know, it might rain. Okay.
Yeah. You mean the windshield wipers would have to operate?
Exactly right. Huh. I mean, look, I understand, okay, we're having a massive storm today. I don't want to take out my fill in the blank here. Okay, I get that. I'll give you that, all right? But it might rain. Please drive your fun car. If your fun car is a convertible, it still has a roof.
Todd's the opposite. It might blizzard. Okay, we're going.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'm a little weird, I'm a lot weird. But here's the thing, though. With the Lotus now, I do have to think about it more than some other cars I've owned.
Sure.
I mean, the FRS was just, I don't care. Let's just take it. But the FRS at the same time had paint chips and stuff going on because of driving it all winter.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not what I want to do to the Lotus. I'm thinking about the Lotus more now. Also, I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, can't take it through a car wash. You know, these are issues as well.
Right.
So, you know,
tires.
That's... You know,
getting
these,
out of the driveway.
These things go on. So, yes, yeah, so I won't be driving that in the snow for sure. But, well, maybe for fun. But not generally is my point.
That's coming.
Not generally is my point.
It's going to be a day.
But honestly, I would just say that. Go for a drive because you have the time, not because you have the weather.
Good.
I think the weather's okay today. So go drive it. Oh, look, it's raining. So drive slower, okay? That's the thing. Don't be afraid to get it dirty. And I would also say... Don't be so precious you can't. Okay, no food, no water. Come on. We've talked.
I allow water at least.
You allow water. That's true. You're growing. But here's the thing.
I am.
We've talked about Cheetos and Kit Kats and things that please avoid at all costs. Okay, but somebody wants to eat an apple or a granola bar in your car. Move on. Okay.
I have found dimes in the 12 volt receptacle. I found a dime in there once when I bought a car.
Oh.
going, what are you, handfuls of change everywhere? You're just loose change all over the car. Really? You couldn't control that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. But those would be the two things I would say, is I would say, don't be afraid to go get a meal in said car to pick. I mean, just run an errand in it. I know you're horrified.
Difficult to listen to.
But I would also say the key thing is drive it when you have the time, not when you have the weather.
I like that a lot.
Just so you can, look, it got rained on. Okay, it's a car. Stuff happens. You know?
Dirt can be cleaned.
For sure.
Damage, I have another thing with, and abuse and damage. We drive them.
Well, but
dirt
I would
can
also,
be clean, though.
I would say there's a difference between abuse and just road damage. Okay?
Yeah.
Don't go seeking out, you know, people that are going to be kicking stuff up. But also, that just happens.
It does.
Okay? If you're driving your nice car or you're driving your cheap car that you don't care about and something throws up a rock and hits your windshield, it's not because you drove your nice car today. It's because you happen to be driving.
Right, right.
Okay? You can't connect the bad thing happened with the fact that you drove the good car. Get away from that thinking.
Yeah, that's very true.
And drive something fun.
Very true. There was another question on Facebook from Johan Lee asking about last-minute queue jumpers at busy on- and off-ramps or freeway exits. So, you know, the people that, you know, when there's a long line of traffic mm-hmm. and they go all the way up to right where you squeeze in.
Yeah.
Do you let them in or do you not?
This is hard because I'll be honest, a lot of times I am that guy.
I admit to doing it too.
My exit off the freeway is one of those exits that people get into inexplicably a mile beforehand. And I'm always like, and don't get me wrong, I don't slip in right when the line changes and it's your last. I don't do that. But here's the thing I would say, I don't have a problem with it. And because I've been on both sides of this equation. I don't have a problem with it if the person that is going by the queue jumps in where there's a gap.
Right.
If they
the
force
accordion
you to,
effect, right?
Exactly. Because that always happens. Yeah. It's not like everybody's bumper to
car
bumper.
Stop and then the accordion
there's
changes
the opening
and there's
so
a gap.
If they can go in and they are a good enough driver to find the opportunity to use a gap and to put their car in it, I'm okay with it. If they go until it's a pinch point and now they are forcing other people to give them space, that's just tacky. And look, this is a blurred line, but that would be my answer on this.
I'll admit, not living in LA anymore has caused me to be more understanding, I guess. Even though I've done it in LA and I've done my best to be like, you know what? We can make room. There's room for everybody because I don't know what kind of day they're having.
That's a good point.
So, you know what? Maybe they're in a hurry to get home to some emergency. And if I heard their story, I'd feel terrible for not letting them in.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're cool about it, you know, give me a little wave like, hey, thanks, cool, you let me in. No problem.
Yeah.
Because I've done that too. I've been in a hurry. Other times, I'll park myself at the back of the line and be like, you know what, I'm going to take my lumps today. I'm going to play by the rules, mm-hmm. you know, the social rules of
yeah.
you know, everybody just creeps along and then somebody comes in at the very last minute. You're like, you know what, okay.
But I will say this other thing that happens with we as humans. This is where we humans are lemmings. Go to any amusement park. Go to any movie theater and find people that will randomly just get at the back of a line. They don't even realize. I meant to get in the line for the Harry Potter ride, and I'm actually accidentally in the line for the bathroom. I don't know that because I'm in proximity of where the back of the line should be, and I got in the line. That we just do that as humans. And so that's another thing where
sure.
well, people are getting over for the next 2 miles. I better get over now. You don't have to get over right now. I want to be intelligent about this, but you don't want to be a jerk. And you're right. That wave makes a difference.
Yeah,
if you let somebody in and they wave,
the slinky effect.
You're far happier about it than if they don't.
Just give me an acknowledgement of, mm-hmm. hey, I get it, thank you,
and
peace out.
The person that doesn't let you in while suddenly has their spine fused, they aren't letting you in, and they also refuse to look to the left or the right. Their spine is fused. They are only looking down their hood. I see you. And we both know that I'm here.
I can see your eyes.
Okay, we both know that I'm here. That's not cool either.
Oh, there was also a question from Asian Ed on here on Instagram about what car company do you want a factory pickup service that doesn't have one today? He's got another question that I want to ask or answer as well. I don't know that there's too many car companies that don't have factory pickup these days.
Mm.
I don't know that I can think of too many, to be honest. I mean, they're all want your money. I haven't investigated all the Japanese and Korean manufacturers, but
okay. yeah.
on the other hand, why, unless you're picking up, say, a Nissan GTR or the forthcoming Toyota Supra or whatever that is,
sure, sure, sure.
car, I mean, all the European brands have them. Volvo does. You name the German brand, they've all got this already. I mean, I don't know that, you know, more economical cars, you're going to really want to do European or Asian
Japanese
delivery,
on your Honda Fit. I mean, I like the Fit, but I'm not really sure you're flying to Japan for factory delivery on your Fit.
It's got to be pretty hot, but okay.
You want to make an event out of it, so it has to be a car that, that allows that. I mean, can you do this with, honestly, though, could you do this with like a Miata? Could you do like a Japanese delivery on a Miata? Because
I'm sure I haven't investigated.
Because you know they have all those drift Japanese. You know, this is the origin of drifting roads outside of Tokyo.
Yeah.
So that would be cool to go to Japan and have factory delivery and drive the Miata in Japan for a while and then ship it. That would
be
interesting.
Awesome.
I haven't heard of that. That would be kind of cool.
I'm wondering if they do. I'm sure it could be arranged. Again, it's just nothing but money, right?
Yeah.
And my dad says. All it takes is money.
Yeah, frightening.
There was another question from him as well. If you could subscribe to an auto detailing or cleaning service where they come and clean your car to CPO standards, would you? Everything is going to subscription these days.
Yeah.
But he's talking about car cleaning service. Now, there are local car wash guys that might have the van full of stuff and the cleaning solutions.
The great
and
local
might pull
detailers.
A trailer full of water.
We know a couple, and they're awesome.
And they might come to you.
Clayton does.
I'm kind of...
His work's awesome.
Does he come to you?
Yes.
Will he come to wherever you are?
Well, you know, he's just now, he's opening his store. This is Clayton. I'm giving him a shout out for Summit Auto Lab here in Park City.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome work is done by Clayton. They do everything, wraps and cleaning, all kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's opening up his storefront, but up to this point, he's always been traveling.
Yeah, true. Since he hasn't had a storefront.
Exactly, which is the thing. I mean, he'll come to your place. The thing I would answer here is if I could afford to do that, absolutely.
That's the other thing.
It's a money question.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm genuinely not minding hand washing the Lotus. It's the first car I've had to where I've owned it, and I have to wash it by hand. Just from a time perspective, I like the idea of having my time back, even though I'm enjoying washing the Lotus myself. I know I'm not doing as good a job as I could, but that's just a time question. If I had the money to have somebody like Clayton show up and wash the Lotus every week, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, budgets and money, that money needs to go elsewhere, and so it does.
Yeah, it's not really a priority. Although, I do look forward to the day that drones will take care of that. Like, 50 drones show up in your driveway, wash, and then they dry, and then they, you know, dry with the propellers.
Somebody is setting that up right now.
I'm telling you. And then they do the buffing and the cleaning, and then they just fly away. Gone. Best use for drones.
It's the drone cloud car wash. That's what it is. The drone cloud detail service. That's a stroke of genius right there, actually.
You can drive around. They all charge on a trailer, and you just drive through neighborhoods, and like that pack of drone takes off for that address.
They take off like a swarm.
This pack of drones, and it just kind of knows where your car's at because of GPS.
Yeah,
it'll come to you. Maybe they could wash your car while you're driving.
That's a bridge too far. But I like it prior to that, except for the fact that you, as the originator of the drone cloud car wash, would have to have a massive insurance policy for the one day that they all go haywire and go banging into the paint with all the little blades.
Whatever.
Up until that happens, this is a fantastic idea. Stuff's going to get done.
It's a bit flawed, I admit, but, you know, the core of the idea, there's something
it's not perfect, but it could work. Yeah, I get that.
That's the idea, you know, just raw ideas. They can be refined, like blue sky. Let's throw it out there and then wrench it back to
desperately
reality.
Try to connect it to the earth. Yes. Well, Matt wrote in on Instagram and he asked, okay, he has a Mustang EcoBoost Premium. He's tuned it to 350 horsepower. He lives in North Texas, which is the land of straight roads.
Yes.
And he just happened to recently drive the MX-5 Club with a manual.
Mm.
And he fell in love.
Beautiful. Love
it. He's kind of obsessed with the car now. And so his question is, okay, I have a Mustang, 350 horsepower, good in the straights. It's the car for where I live. And he's fallen in love with the Miata, which is desperately looking for tracks and back roads. Is he insane to want this car? And we're supposed to talk him out of it. And honestly, Matt, I can't talk you out of it. I can't do it. Because the thing that the Miata is doing that I think you're responding to is weight.
Sure.
That Mustang is the better part of 1,000 pounds heavier than that Miata.
And it's awesome.
And I'm not against the Eagle Book. Awesome. Watch our greatest hits piece from YouTube or season one on Velocity. We're fans of the Mustang, the current Mustang we like.
Yep.
But that MX-5 is better part of 1,000 pounds lighter.
That's crazy to think.
It is. It's like a 2,400-pound car. Okay?
Wow. I mean,
the only thing lighter is the Lotus that you can actually buy.
It's true.
Which is insane. So I think I'm giving you permission and I'm encouraging you to buy an MX-5 and have one for a while. Somewhere in your area, somebody probably does autocrosses in big parking lots. So then you can have the opportunity to actually chuck it around as it's intended. And then I think for the driving you do daily, I think it'd be a totally different experience for a while to have a car that is that small and that light, because it infuses you into the driving experience so much that even when you're going straight and you're just taking an off ramp, it's a different feel than other cars because of weight. So I'm going to encourage you, because as we've always said, you can get rid of a car you still like. You still like the EcoBoost? Okay, you can sell that. You have the MX-5 for a year or two and you go, this doesn't make any sense anymore. Okay, move on again.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have straight roads doesn't mean you can't enjoy that car or can't use it as intended.
Oh, that's excellent. I really like that. All right, I got to get a last one in here somewhere. How about the manual transmission question for electric cars? DES7IN. Asking on Instagram. Had to think that through there for a moment. He's asking, do you guys think that the manual transmission will die off prior to the extinction of gas engines in modern cars? This would clearly affect performance, but, you know, manufacturers creating a simulated stick manual feeling with an electric powertrain. Will we see this coming? Difficult to say, but just think about all the pleasure involved with shifting associated with an engine note.
Agreed.
That's really the association. Imagine heel and toeing in the downshift and you let the clutch out at the right time only to hear nothing.
Yeah.
Not as satisfying.
True.
So therefore, I don't think that's ever going to be an issue because, or something that would be offered, because it's just kind of, it's so pandering and so not necessary. There's not even a reason for it.
Yeah.
Maybe you could get into, you know, in the future, electric cars have two gears, you know, they shift to a higher top speed for the cruising, whatever that is. Maybe. But for now, as you know, they're single speed transmissions. There's no reason for it.
Well,
I love the idea and I love the fact that, you know, maybe they could figure something out, but then there's no noise at the end.
You're merging technologies just for nostalgia. I'll give you a flawed analogy. If your digitally remastered music, imagine the best digital master of your favorite song ever, and then somebody adds the hiss and tick of a record on top of that. Now, there's something, if you're an audiophile and you like vinyl, okay, I'm not really into it, but I kind of see why people do. There is something very organic and kind of draws you in about that hiss and the tick of a record.
Sure.
I get it.
Sure.
But do you want to overlay that onto something that's coming to you digitally? No, you don't.
Adding noise into
you don't. Okay? So that's the thing about a manual transmission with an electric car. But to answer the other part of your question, though, I don't think that manuals go away completely, because I think automakers are going to continue to have an area of their lineup that is sold for people that want the non-pod experience.
Sure.
As we've talked about it before, it's going to be like horse ownership.
Yeah.
Where you have a segment of the population that is still buying a car they can drive themselves, and some of that population will drive one with a manual, and it'll be a totally separate part of the market than the people that are buying pods. And the people that have these manual organic cars will probably also own a pod, and they will use them differently. I don't think the manual goes away, but I also don't think it merges into the electric car pod reality whenever that comes.
Unless we go really retro and make the race car drivers like Formula E, we make them shift with a clutch.
We make them shift just for the heck of it. Just to make it hard for you. Yeah. And we're going to have fake engine noise just because the cars, we're sick of them sounding like vacuums. Yeah, exactly. There's that as well. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. Guys, massive thanks for all your questions. We are sorry we can't get to everything, but we try. So it's... thanks for the questions. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Much.
Keep sending them. Of course, the car debates are theeverydaydrivertv@gmail.com address or through the website. These questions are for anything else, anything other than a car debate. Somebody made a comment today where they were like, you never answered my question, so I stopped posting. And I thought, first off, What was your question? Because you took the time to post that we weren't answering it. There's so many that we're seeing. We're getting like 50 to 60 questions a podcast now. So just sheer numbers, we're not going to get to
all
of them.
It's awesome. And we had asked for it. So.
And which is great. And the thing is, the other thing you have to keep in mind here, a lot of times the questions that we're answering have been asked more than once. We are reading them all. So we welcome your questions and we'll keep asking for them. Thank you for sending them in.
Have a great week. Make it a great day. And looking forward to next time, guys. Cheers.